One, I'm the good shepherd. Fifth, I'm the resurrection and life. Sixth, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Seven, I am the true vine. And then that line at the bottom is going to rhyme with that. It says, if you know who I am, you'll love as I have loved you. So I've asked a couple staff members to help with the motions with this. So would you please welcome up our staff members, Emma and Paige. Here they are. Emma and Paige, you guys, here they are. Come on up. All right, so we're going to break it down, and they're going to break it down for us. I'm going to put a bandana on for this and the rest of while I'm speaking because I get hot up here. So they are going, we're just going to do the first ones that you guys already know. So these are the motions. Why don't you stand with us? So stand up. So here's how it goes. You guys remember? We're going to do the first four, and then we'll do the second four after that, and then we're going to try to do all of them together, and it's going to go seamlessly. Seamlessly. All right, so here's how it goes. I am the bread of life, hunger only for me. I'm the light of the world, make the darkness flee. I'm the door to the sheep, through me you'll be saved. I am the good shepherd, you're no longer enslaved. Okay, that's really good. But wait, there's more. All right, so the last four that we're doing, they go like this. And it gets harder. So you ready? I'm the resurrection in life because I've conquered the grave. I'm the way, the truth in life. Believe in me today. I am the true vine. Your vine growing up. I am the true vine. Abide in me and grow fruit. This is sign language for fruit. Abide in me and grow fruit. If you know who I am, you'll love as I have loved you. Fruit and you don't really rhyme, but don't worry about that. All right, so we're going to do it all together. But we need to drop a sick beat in order to do it all together. So, Mixmaster Micah, drop that sick beat. Who's ready? Well, I guess I have to rap it. I didn't pick somebody to rap. All right, here it goes. You guys ready? Here it comes. It wasn't there, but it's coming. Here it comes. I am the bread of life, hunger only for me. I'm the light of the world, make the darkness flee. I'm the door to the sheep, through me you'll be saved. I am the good shepherd, you're no longer enslaved. I'm the resurrection in life, because I've conquered the grave. I'm the way, the truth, and life, believe in me today. I am the true vine, abide in me and grow fruit. If you know who I am, you'll love as I have loved you. All right. We did it. Seamless. You should never actually drop a mic. So we'll just act like we did it. Can we hear it for our backup dancers? You guys weren't even backup dancers. Appreciate you. Thank you, guys. They're matching, too. That's great. All right. So tonight we are going to be... Everybody look outside over there. You see outside? I've seen a few of you guys this week just spending some quiet time outside in different places, and I had a chance to spend some time outside just listening to God out there by our outdoor chapel. And God doesn't only dwell in this place. He doesn't only dwell in a place as beautiful as that. We can meet him anywhere, right? But we have a really sweet opportunity to be out there. When I was trying to listen to God, I was also a little distracted when I was out there because it's so beautiful, and just seeing the waves come in a little bit off the lake, seeing the leaves move, and I also saw some squirrels. There's like a squirrel playground that's out there. And so I was a little bit distracted by that. But I want to ask you guys this. If you get distracted when you're there, I want to ask you a couple things tonight. So one, try not to be a distraction to somebody else, okay? And two, ask God, do you want me to refocus, or are you trying to show me something? Because he might be trying to show you something through what you think is a distraction, okay? But we're going to be out there tonight, and I'm still looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But tonight, the reason I introduced you to our I am statement for tonight that we haven't talked about yet, I am the true vine, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're not going to do our rap tonight, but we are going to do it tomorrow for our parents, your parents that are coming in. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I mean, you guys don't have to actually do it, but we're going to give you, let's just say it this way, we're going to give you the opportunity to do it. So if you don't want to, you can just stand there and, I don't know, not be part of the fun, I guess. And that's your call. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. And maybe you were saying no. Maybe you're saying no because you don't want there to be a last chapel, but there's going to be. And I've been so thankful to be here with you guys this week. And like we talked about yesterday, you know, we may not see each other again, but we may. But if you guys are a follower of Jesus, he has the words of life, like we just sang about eternal life, and we'll see him in glory. We'll see each other there too. So we're going to get into John 14 today and read the rest of John 14, actually just 15 through 30. And as I pull up the slides, I'm curious if somebody wants to read the first part for me. All right, so this is where we're going. John 15 through 30. And we'll just read 15 through 24 to start.
You see it?
Right here.
Let's see. John 14. So we're in 14 and 15 through 30.
So your Bible may say Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening right here. So just 15 through 24. Tell us your name.
Evelyn.
That's Evelyn. She asked me like 2 days ago if she could read, and she's been so patient, and I've haven't called on her yet. But Evelyn's going to read for us. Evelyn, go ahead when you're ready.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with me forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them and then is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Jesus said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me."
Okay, Evelyn, you can stop there for now, but I'm going to have you read a little bit more. So she's reading in a different translation, and that's okay. This one's ESV, but it doesn't mean that this one's better than the one that she's reading in. So it's kind of cool to hear some things differently. I don't know about you guys, so in this section of Scripture, Jesus promises what? What does he say? Yeah, what does he say? Go ahead. Oh, okay, that's all right, that's all right. Anybody have an idea? What's Jesus promising? Go ahead, Bryson. Kind of, yeah, he promised eternal life, but what is he talking about here? He's talking about somebody. There's a capital H in that first sentence. So it's kind of somebody's name. Who is it? What do you say?
The Helper.
Or we call the Holy Spirit the Helper. I don't know about you guys. When I grew up in church, maybe it was my church or maybe it was just the way I was a little naive to it, but it kind of seemed like there was God the Father, God the Son, and, you know, I don't know if you guys have grown up like that, but the Holy Spirit, it's kind of a little bit more mysterious. He is kind of a little bit more mysterious to talk about. The Holy Spirit was mentioned a bit when we talked about the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that God is three in one. But a lot of times when we talked about him being with you always or being in a relationship with Jesus, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, but we weren't saying the Holy Spirit the way that I grew up, at least. In this section of Scripture, in John 14, Jesus is still having a conversation with his disciples at a feast. I didn't do a good job about mentioning this feast in the past, but it's a feast called Passover. Have you guys learned about Passover before? It's a pretty awesome thing to learn about, and I'm not going to talk about it a ton, but maybe it might be something that counselors you want to go into and talk about the significance of a sacrificial lamb. There's some really awesome stuff that's there. But in this Passover, this is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And I bet you've heard these words said at your church when you take communion. In Matthew 26, it's in Luke, and it's in Mark also. In Matthew 26, it's written in verse 26, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said this. He said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood, the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you that I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So this is it. This is one of the last times Jesus is spending with his disciples, at least in this way. He's sitting down for a meal, and it's just such a sweet thing that he's there. I'm going to have you read in just a second. He says that, "I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." So he sandwiches this mention of the Holy Spirit that will dwell with all believers forever between statements of love. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Are we there? We are there. Let me go back. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Then again, in verse 21, he says the same thing, just rephrased. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Then again in verse 23, "Anyone who loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." Okay, Evelyn, are you ready to read again? All right, do it.
"All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
You guys heard that song before? "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Hold your head up high." And there's other words to it, but this is where they get that verse at least. Go ahead. Sorry for interrupting you.
"You heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad I'm going to the Father, to the Father's greater than I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe."
And just verse 30 then.
"I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me."
Awesome.
"Come now, let us sing."
Thank you, Evelyn. Let's hear it for her. Thank you. Thanks for being patient. So one verse I really want to point out to you, it says in verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." As I've been speaking to you guys this week, I've done my best to be listening. I've been trying to listen to how you guys respond to certain things that I say. On night one, when I was asking you, like, does the picture of God that you have, is he vengeful? Is he distant? Some of you audibly were like, "No!" And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And I get their base knowledge. I kind of understand where you guys are at. I've been trying to listen to the feedback that your counselors have given me or the program staff here. But the thing I've been trying to listen to the most is the Holy Spirit. I heard that when Mother Teresa was asked about how she prays, she said, "I listen and God listens." That's what she said. I've also heard it said that the Holy Spirit can't bring to mind scripture that you've never read before or memorized. You guys, God's word is living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the armor of God that's described in Ephesians 6, who's read through the armor of God before in Ephesians 6? Armor of God in Ephesians 6 talks about all kinds of things that we can ready ourselves for a battle that's to come. But the only offensive weapon that's given is what? Anybody know? There's only one thing that's offensive. What is it? Who knows? Ethan, you know? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah, so, you know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan tried to give him a half-truth or a half-scripture, just a little bit, and tell him a lie, and Jesus said, well, actually, this is what my Father's word says. This is what the word says. In my role at school now, my role, I don't know if I've told you much about it, I'm the spiritual formation director, which I think is kind of a fancy title. It just means that I care for students. Sometimes I try to prep chapel. I'll speak in elementary chapel or secondary chapel, but a lot of times, it depends on the week, but if students are sent to the office, they have to come and talk to me. Whew. Sit down, let's talk. And sometimes I'm stern with them. And I try to be always gracious, and when appropriate, show mercy and just try to be an example of God's character. But in the moment, there's times where I just don't know what to say. And so in the moment, sometimes I just say, okay, Lord, give me some words. Can you give me some wisdom or help me to know, should I be listening to the student or should I ask some more questions? And I don't always get it right, but I try to listen to God in that way. There are several times I don't feel like I know what to say, and I just ask God's Spirit to give me words or wisdom or both, and sometimes I feel like I get it right, and there's sometimes when I wonder if I said what I said made a difference. But even in the moment, as you're talking to someone, you can speak to God in your head and just ask his Spirit to give you wisdom, a verse, or some words of encouragement, or give you an action of what you should do. I also like to just ask God's Spirit to guide me with who I should encourage and who he wants me to show love to. A friend of mine would often pray, Lord, just take me on an adventure. Everybody say, Lord, take me on an adventure. Lord, take me on an adventure. Yeah, that's a bold prayer to pray, and I know you're just repeating after me, but if you do pray that to God and you really genuinely ask that of him, he will, and he may do some sweet things. I didn't expect to be speaking to you guys here at Miracle Camp this week, and to be honest, I don't do camp speaking a ton, but it's been a joy for me to be here, and it's been such a sweet thing. God put the opportunity before me, and I talked to my wife, and I prayed about it, and I felt like he was saying, yeah, you should come. And so, guys, there's a battle that we as believers are called to fight. Do you know this? It's not a battle against flesh and blood, and we don't have weapons made of this world. If we dink around with darkness, and we mingle with our friends who do, and we don't spend time with God in his word daily, and we don't find ourselves in a Christian community, we are letting the enemy get a foothold. So I used to work, before I worked at the school that I work at, I used to work at our church, and I was the kids director for a few years there, and so our church was big. We had a lot of kids. And one of my favorite kids that I connected with was a boy named Thor. Thor I met in first grade, but this particular event happened when he was in second grade. So there was this day that I came in, and we prayed about it, actually. Anna prayed before I came up, and she prayed that we wouldn't have any tech issues. And I just thought, like, man, that's kind of a funny thing to pray about, but I don't think we've prayed about that seemingly little thing. But you guys, if you are ever responsible for tech, you know that the enemy can get a foothold when something technological goes wrong. And I think that they can relate in the back there. But this particular day, I came in and we printed out stickers for security for kids to wear. The sticker printer machine wasn't working. I tried to get the projector going and the projector wasn't working. And I had a couple leaders that were sick, and they couldn't make it, and I was just frustrated, and I felt like I wasn't doing a good job, and I was actually, that frustration turned into anger, and it turned into walls that were up, and I just wasn't listening to God or other people well. And in fact, my wife saw me, and she could just see on my face that I was frustrated. I had another leader who said the same thing, and they both were like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And they said, are you okay? And my wife said, okay, say this, you're doing a good job. She just wanted me to say it, and I was like, I'm not going to say that. I don't need to say that right now. And I was just being kind of a pill, and I was dinking around and wasn't listening to her, wasn't listening to the Lord. And so I was taking care of all these problems and kind of being like Martha, like we've described before. And it took so long that I didn't get a chance to be there for the start of worship. And I told my leaders, you guys just start worship. I'll be in there in a little bit. So when I came in, all the students had gone from their small group areas into the center for worship. And I was walking around and I saw Thor, not in the center for worship, but he was off to the side in his small group area, and he was kind of almost like in fetal position and kind of cowering, and he was upset. And I said, I got down and I was like, Thor, what's going on? Are you okay? And he said, I'm fine. And I said, well, it doesn't look like you're fine. Why are you over here and not at worship? You love worship. And he said, well, my bully's here. And he said, I just don't really know how to handle my bully. And I was not ready for that conversation, and I hadn't really been walking in step with the Spirit, if I'm honest, in that moment. And so I said to Thor, what do you think we should do? And I asked him, like, well, what's the right thing to do in this situation? And he said, should we pray for him? And I was like, yes. And really, in a Christian circle, if someone says, hey, should we pray? It's really hard to be like, no, we're not going to. But I was like, that's a really good idea. And so I said, Thor, do you want me to pray? And he said, yeah, but I want to pray too. And so I prayed, and then Thor prayed. And as soon as he got done praying, as soon as we said amen, Thor got up, and he went and stood in the center where everybody else was worshiping. And he stood right next to the student, the kid who was his bully. And just a little sidebar, I had a chance to talk with the leaders, talk with the families, and the kid who was the bully or had been bullying, he's doing really good, and he's grown a lot closer to Jesus. But I was so impressed that Thor, even though he was all out of sorts, and there was some stuff that was going on that was above what he could handle, when I asked him what he should do, he said, let's give it to Jesus. Let's just put it at his feet, and let's ask the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to give us peace. He didn't use those exact words, but that's what he was doing. You guys, we can let our hearts be troubled. In this world, we will have trouble, but we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world, and he's provided a helper for us when we need it. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Has anybody experienced this kind of stuff before? It's okay for you to get excited about that stuff a little bit. Jesus said, we're supposed to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. We can get that meaning a little mixed up, and he doesn't mean that it's okay to stay in sin, or he doesn't mean that it's okay to not grow as a disciple of Jesus, but he means that we need to have a childlike faith that has utter dependence on him. You guys, you're young people. I might say that you're kids. I might say you're middle schoolers. I might say you're young men and women. You're not yet adolescents, but you're like pre-adolescents, all those little terms, but I don't know if I would call you children. Those of you who are the younger ones in here, fifth or sixth grade, when someone says children, are you like, I'm not really a child anymore. And there's technically you probably are, but think about people that are even younger than you. Does anybody have any younger siblings? The younger that you get, the more dependent you are on your parents, your guardians, people to take care of you. And Jesus is saying, just like that dependency, I need to be that to you. When Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, he tells them several times over the next couple chapters, actually. It goes until John 16. He says that, that he'll leave peace with them. He says, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't let your hearts be troubled. And in chapter 16, he says, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's kind of profound to me that Jesus says, it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, can come to you. There's a verse that you guys may be acquainted with, maybe you sing songs about, and it's in Galatians 5. And I'm going to see if somebody else wants to read it. Thank you, Evelyn, for reading so much, but I'll come grab the microphone from you and take a water break. Do you still have it? Oh, okay. Oh, Emma's got it. Thank you, Emma. Thanks. Anybody want to read it? All right. Here we go, Caden. Because we're wrapping up here and we're almost done. But let's look at this section that talks about ways that we can tell if we're in the Spirit or not. When you're ready, yep.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, works of the flesh
17, yeah. Thanks, Caden. I appreciate you. So here's a list, you guys, and we can easily see lists like this and think, okay, it makes sense that there are laws against these things to the right, because there's a lot of bad things that can happen. And it's a sweet thing to know that the stuff on the, the left is what I meant to say, the stuff on the right, the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking in step with the Spirit, there's no law against these things, and that's a really sweet thing to think about. We can, in our own self, maybe you came from a family that, like, it's you have one rule, no matter what, be kind to someone. Or maybe one day you'll get a tattoo that says, like, I'm going to be joyful always. And or you just, you think, like, whatever I do, I'm going to be loving. And you have a bent, your personality type that is kind of bent toward one of these things. But it's called the fruit of the Spirit because it's manifest, just one thing that's manifest. These show up when you're walking in step with God's Spirit. We can have the tendency to take fruit and say, like, I want to be like other Christians, and I want to be kind, I want to be faithful, I want to be peaceful, so Lord, help me to manifest that. And we can take fruit, and we can just tape it on. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. You guys, it's so important to walk in step with the Spirit and let Him use us for His purposes. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. And I'm not going to pull up a slide. Actually, I do have a slide later. But in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about spiritual gifts and the phenomenon that the Holy Spirit will provide us with different gifts. He talks about a lot of different gifts in that section of Scripture, and I encourage you to read it. I'm not going to get into the specifics of those, but I want to just make the point that as he gets done talking about those gifts and how we're supposed to use them to build his kingdom, he finishes in, and he starts chapter 13, and he says, I'm going to tell you a better way. And we're not going to go over this for the sake of time. But he says that if you do all these things, if you show these gifts, if you're a patient, or if you have the gift of teaching, or if you have the gift of mercy or administration, that's all important, that's all good. But if you're not doing it in love, it doesn't matter at all. I want to conclude with a story from a book that I read about the Holy Spirit from author Francis Chan, and he talks about a woman named Esther Ann Kim, and I'm just going to read you this short story about this woman. So Esther Ann Kim's biography is among the most powerful testimonies I have read, he says. It was during World War II that the Japanese occupation of Korea and Esther's journey of faith had really begun. She refused to bow down at the shrines set up of every corner of her country and was eventually imprisoned for 6 years from 1939 to 1945. Knowing that she was destined for prison for refusing to bow to idols, Esther spent time training herself, both physically and spiritually. Each day she would find food to eat that was decaying, knowing that she would be eating that kind of food in prison. The discipline she demonstrated is humbling. How many of us would choose to eat rotten foods? While preparing for prison, she memorized more than 100 chapters of the Bible. More than 100 chapters of the Bible she memorized. And many hymns, because she knew she would not be allowed to keep her Bible. She spent countless hours seeking God through fasting and prayer. These times she read the scriptures, and they led to greater clarity, and she was able to surrender her fear of being tortured. Reading her story left me wanting more intimacy with Christ, more love for people, more of God, and to be honest, more discipline. She was a well-disciplined believer, but was nothing. There was nothing self-righteous about her. Her obedience to Christ only increased her ability to hear the voice of the Spirit and consequently filled her with overwhelming love for the people she came in contact with. Now, watch this story. Listen to this story. When she eventually was taken to prison, God used her in countless ways. One night, a young Chinese woman convicted of killing her husband was brought in. She moaned incessantly and beat on the doors until the guards tied her hands behind her back. It was this woman that God called Esther to love and to reach out to. Esther held the woman's feet at night to warm them, even though the woman was covered in her own excrement. Though food rations were small, Esther gave up her portions for 3 days to this woman. Over time, the Chinese woman began to respond, carrying on the conversation and eventually accepting the good news of the gospel. The woman was later executed for her crime, but she went to death alive in Christ. Guys, God doesn't give us his Spirit so we can just endure a hard test or just being frustrated with somebody in your family or somebody that rubs you the wrong way, and so we can just have peace that only dwells within us. Jesus is the light of the world, but he calls us to bear that light on his behalf. And light permeates, and it makes everything around it, it makes darkness around it flee. That's what he asks us to do. It's a big task. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Don't say yes if you're not. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how sweet it's been to just get into your word and to ask you to show us what we need to know. I pray that these words were not of mine and they would fall on open hearts, that you would soften all of our hearts, mine included, to your purposes and your ways. And we thank you that today is the last day, full day of camp, not because we want it to be over, but seeking rest and relaxation is a good thing, and having Sabbath is a good thing. So we thank you that that's coming soon. Thank you for what you've got to accomplish before then. May we be attentive to it. And we praise you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. We love you guys.